Let's be clear. Prison works. It ensures that we are protected from murderers, muggers, and rapists, and it makes many who are tempted to commit crime think twice. This may mean that more people will go to prison. I do not flinch from that. We shall no longer judge the success of our system of justice by a fall in our prison population. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about prison, and specifically, I would like to talk about the fact that a very long period of lots of people going to prison has, in effect, helped to reduce crime, and the new policy of letting fewer people go to prison, of being more lax about prison, and of letting people out of prison will inevitably and has already started to increase crime. In essence, prison works. Why does prison work? Because prison, particularly if you do it for minor offences as well as major offences, takes the people who are criminally inclined off the streets. And it takes those people off the streets, that is to say, criminally inclined young men, off the streets during their most fertile, their most active, their most high testosterone, their most aggressive years. And it takes them away from society, and thus it reduces the crime rate. It is that simple. In much the same way, we know that in the early modern period, you had execution for almost all felonies. That is to say, even for quite minor crimes like theft, the punishment was hanging. The result of that, and it has been demonstrated by in a very interesting paper by Frost and Harpending, is that it tamed the European gene pool. It tamed the gene. Every generation, about 2% of the male population were executed. And these were overwhelmingly young men. These men were removed from the gene pool. The heritability of criminality and criminal traits is at least 0.5, very possibly higher. The heritability of intelligence, which is a big predictor, low intelligence, of criminality is about 0.8. So it was removing those who were criminally inclined from the gene pool. It was taming the European gene pool, and it would have been one of the reasons why the crime rate we note between the medieval period and the end of the early modern period falls, because they are removing the criminals from the gene pool. What prison does, to a lesser extent, is it does remove those people from the gene pool, because if they are kept in prison, they are not able to breed. Secondly, even putting that aside, because they're young and they're in their best years when they're in prison. Even putting that aside, if you keep them in prison, of course, they are not able to commit crime. So you are taking men who are young men who are genetically highly inclined to commit crime, and you are keeping them in prison during the years, during the span in which they are most likely to commit crime. It is thus a very good idea to have prison even for quite minor offences, because the kind of people that commit quite minor offences, like theft or whatever, are likely to be the kind of people that could commit major offences that would result in long prison sentences, offences such as murder or whatever it happens to be. So therefore, prison for minor offences catches them as a kind of pre-crime, if you like, stage, because they will develop from those into major offences, and it takes them away from society. So prison works. Now, let's look at how prison has operated in Western countries over the last century or so. In the UK, between 1950 and 1990, crime quadrupled. It increased fourfold. By 2012, crime had gone back to the level that it was in 1982. And this was in a context in which the prison population between 1920 and 2015 increased by 450%. Now, what is going on here? Violent crime, by the way, this is American data, between 1960 and 1990, quadruples. Now, violent crime is back to the level that it was in 1969. And the same patterns are true with almost all other kinds of crime. They increase hugely up till about 1990, something like that, and then they start to go down. people have a perception that crime is increasing. That's not true. It's not accurate. Crime, or it is increasing, but for a very long period, it was going down. Now, what is going on here? What's happening with the prison population? Well, one thing that has changed is that in Britain and in America as well, since 2005, there has been a policy of being more lax about things, particularly things like soft drugs. So in the past, if you were found guilty of possession, even of soft drugs, you'd go to prison. Now it's overlooked. Increasingly, they try to not send people to prison. They try to engage in community service or other kinds of rehabilitation. Rather, say they say prison doesn't work because prison doesn't reform criminals. Well, of course prison doesn't reform criminals. That's not the point. Why would it? If criminality is highly heritable, if it's about 0.5 heritable, why would you expect prison to reform criminals? It's not about reforming criminals. It's about protecting society from criminals by taking them away from society so they can't commit any more crime. So if you start reducing the percentage of the population sent to prison, and particularly in a context in which intelligence is going down, as we know, and intelligence is low intelligence is associated with criminality, then what you would expect is a rise in crime. And that is exactly what we have seen in Western countries like America and Britain, who have adopted this policy since 2005, a rise in crime. Now, let us look at what has gone on. Well, until the 1960s, as you know, we were a group-oriented society that was concerned with group-oriented values and put the good of the group above the individual. In the 1960s, we flip over, you know, there's a certain percentage that are individualists, they get to about 20%, and we flip over towards individualising values where we promote equality and harm avoidance. This then sets off an arms race where people will signal their commitment to the new regime by signalling their belief in equality and harm avoidance. One of the things that this results in is a gradual collapse in morals. You have previously had these systems, these institutions, the church, whatever, that promote group orientation and thus promote morality in the sense of doing what is good for the group. These systems are attacked by these individualists, these systems are undermined, and systems are created which promote their genetic interests. And their genetic interests are individualism and being able to do whatever you like. So you have a collapse in a system that has previously pushed people along a road to group-oriented morality and being pro-social, and that system collapses in favour of individualism. And so, of course, the result is a continuous rise in crime, particularly noticeable since the 1960s. Crime goes up. How do we deal with this system? Well, we start locking them up, and we lock them up more and more and more. Now, that helps to some extent, but the problem is that the collapse of morality is so severe that it just keeps going up and keeps going up. Even though we're locking them up, crime keeps going up until we have the rise in modern technology. This happens around about 1990. We have surveillance cameras everywhere. We have DNA evidence submissible in court and all of this kind of thing. And various other techniques as well, which mean that it is increasingly impossible to get away with crime. Now, this has two consequences. One is if you are a criminal, you are much more likely to be caught and go to prison. And two, unless you're very stupid or very impulsive, and then you will try to avoid, you will know that you're not going to get away with murder in a way that someone like Peter Sutcliffe did. You're not going to. You will be caught. And so, therefore, it acts as an incentive not to commit crime. So crime starts to fall. And while crime starts to fall, we are still engaging in a system where we take those who do commit crimes and we put them in prison. Now, who is going to commit crimes in this context? It's going to be people who are so antisocial, so psychopathic, so low in IQ, and all of these are highly heritable traits, remember, that even though the likelihood of them getting caught is very high, they still do it. So we take those people out of society. And if this is quite minor offences, as I said earlier, then those people are prevented from going on to major offences, and they will go on to those offences. Now, a good example of this would be drugs. Let's look at the way drugs work. Who goes to prison for drugs? If you are a student and drugs are illegal, so and if you in many Western countries, if you take drugs, then you risk a prison sentence. Now, who is more likely, as a consequence of taking drugs, to start committing crime? Is it the student who is taking who is intelligent and whatever and has pro-social personality but is experimenting with drugs? He's breaking the law. He's not going to commit crime to get hold of the drugs. So he's all right. He's fine. But the people that are of low socioeconomic status, those people, if they get involved in drugs, they are more likely to commit crime. They will therefore be sent to prison, and they will be prevented from committing more major crimes in the future. So you can see how it is good for the crime rate that drugs are illegal. It is good for the crime rate that people are jailed for taking drugs, and it is good for the crime rate that they cause people who have low IQ and poor impulse control, and who are therefore more likely to commit more serious crimes in the future, to be taken off the street. 90%, by the way, of people that are in prison in Britain are drug addicts. 90%. So this shows you that the brilliance of drugs being illegal, and of people clamping down on drugs and jailing people for even quite minor drugs offences, or certainly for the kind of stealing that is associated with getting the money for drugs, the brilliance of that is it takes people who are highly criminally inclined off the streets. And if you have the kind of system you have in America of three strikes and you're out, then they can be taken off the streets forever. It's a kind of pre-crime, like in that film with whatever it was called, the Minority Report. Drugs can be seen as a kind of pre-crime, which take people who will probably commit very serious crime in the future and remove them from society. So there is something quite good about the police arresting and jailing people for these quite minor offences. It is going to reduce the crime rate. Now, the result of this, we talked earlier about this system of individualism, and which is that you have these five moral foundations, that is to say, of the group-oriented ones, of obedience to authority, loyalty to your group, and of sanctity, and the individually-oriented ones of harm avoidance, which is about yourself and not being harmed, and equality, which is about everyone being equal. Now, these are individualistic, because if you go on about equality, you're bringing everyone down, so it's a kind of covert way of getting more resources for you. And if you've got about harm avoidance, you're avoiding doing anything for the group, so it's ultimately about you. So you, what do? You get this runaway individualism where you signal your own, you know, you love equality, you love harm avoidance, and it's a way of covertly playing for status, because people that are conservative, they believe in all five of those moral foundations. People that are liberal, they only believe in the two individualising ones. So it's a way of covertly playing for status. What you eventually get is runaway individualism, where you go on and on about, oh, I'm so concerned about the poor, and I'm so concerned about people at the bottom of society and them going to prison, and we must do something about it. And so eventually the whole prison system breaks down, and you get a much more lax attitude to crime and policing. You get people being let off with a warning. You get people not for these kinds of drugs offences. You get people not being sent to prison, whatever. The result, and this has been seen in Kentucky, is now a rise. Crime is going back up. Prison works, to quote Michael Howard, who I was channeling earlier, the former British Home Secretary. Prison works. It ensures that we are kept free from murderers, muggers, and rapists. It works in that indirect way. And so this ideology, basically, of wokeness has resulted in the crime rate, which has been falling for 20 to 30 years, going back up again. And you have this new ideology, this new system, rather Christian in a lot of ways, which basically says of people who are the underclass, who are likely to commit these kinds of crimes, that, well, it's not their fault. They have been born into an evil world, and the evil world run by the evil people has made them evil and has made them do these very, very bad things. And all you have to do is change the environment, and they can be rehabilitated, they can be reformed, and it will all be fine. And we know from what happens is that's not the case, because this is failing to understand that the heritability of crime is quite high. This is a genetic issue, and it is people that have low intelligence that are having more children, and those people tend to commit more crime, people with low intelligence. And so you're in a situation where, exactly as the proportion of the population who are criminally inclined is increasing, you take away prison, the system which removes them from the population and keeps the country safe for everybody else. So this is obviously a disastrous system, and the result is, particularly since about 2013, it's been noted, crime is back up. So in America, the murder rate is now back up to the same as what it was 20 years ago, before the intense rise of these kinds of technologies. The murder rate is back up. Why? Because we're not sending people to prison anymore. So let's be clear about this. Prison works. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, then please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. If you want to support the channel, you can see ways to do so below, and I'd be most grateful. Remember, I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. If you have a question, you can send it in via Entropy, and I will, of course, research it, and you'll hopefully get a jolly interesting answer. Please remember to subscribe over at BitChute and Odyssey as well, and I will see you soon, and goodbye!